Well, it's been a little while since I've got to preach, but I've enjoyed having our guests that have been here, and enjoyed the diversity of ministry, the different ministries that have come through with our various guests that we've had. Thanks, Pete, for your word this morning. He hadn't checked the roster, but he said to me when he came up the front and said, you know, I've been 30 years filling up with the Word. And so good on him, don't you reckon? You know, because the word of God's not an intellectual thing, is it? The Word of God's in us and it's living in us. And I understand, like, it's not easy for everyone to suddenly stand up and share. I get that. Like, I'm not saying you should all be able to do that. But there is, the Word of God's in us, isn't it? It's alive inside of us. And so, you know, God's never caught by surprise. I whispered to Pete as he sat next to me. So I prayed with him and just said, may the Lord just give you clarity and just give you the right word to share with us. And so I appreciate, you know, his boldness in a sense, but yet in another sense, hey, it's just the word, isn't it, inside of us and bringing that word out. So good on you, Pete. I appreciate that. And, you know, I just encourage all of us, I guess, to know that one of the things the Bible tells us, the work of the Holy Spirit, is that he'll bring to remembrance things we've learned. The other thing he says the Holy Spirit will do is he'll teach us what to say. Is that right? So he says, don't be anxious about what you're going to say. Now, I'm not saying that you just live your whole life never thinking about what you're going to say. That'll get you into trouble, won't it? Has it got anyone into trouble before? But it gets into trouble. But it's more that it's alive inside of us, and we're trusting the Holy Spirit every day, aren't we, to not only to be able to speak it, but to be able to live it. And that's really where I'm coming from this morning as I move into my message this morning. I'm going to be away for a few weeks, and so I kind of thought, and I've had a number of weeks to think about what I want to share. It's amazing. You're still, the last minute, you've got some thoughts brewing away, you know. But I just wanted to really give importance to, you know, what I had opportunity to share with you this morning. And the thing I felt to share was just to really encourage us in the Word of God and the power of the Word, but how we respond to that Word when it comes to us. And I was thinking in the context of the last few weeks, you know, as we've had different speakers come and we've been challenged and inspired in different ways, you know, what do we do with that? So I want to turn into 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If we can just turn into to this passage, and there's a few verses I'll pick out, and then you know, we'll take a look at them this morning. Apologies, all my family. Carmen had her 90th. She's got her 90th birthday actually on Tuesday this week, but yesterday we had a bit of a celebration. A number of her family, pretty well all of her grandchildren, all of her grandparents. They'd be pretty doing well, wouldn't they? But all of her grandchildren were there except one, which was just an amazing time. And so for Carmen, it was excellent. And so they're all just catching up this morning. And so apologies that Sandra's not here and some of the family are not able to be here. But that was an important time for them. But anyway, I'm glad to be here and to share the word with you, because I won't be here for a few weeks, and so I really wanted to be here and to share with you this morning. And we had a great week too. Just quickly before we go on, we had a great week with the band called Amber Lights that were here ministering in the schools through the week, and they did and I think they said something like 15 performances over 5 days. Obviously, we go into a school, we might do three sessions in that school, you know, one after the other and whatever. But in every session in the schools, I got to go to some, and Dave went when I couldn't go. We shared it between us through the week. But in every session in those schools, the gospel was clearly presented, just in a gentle but very clear way, as they just shared their story, sang songs and shared their story. And so I was just so thankful for, you know, the word that went out and just the response of the kids. So encourage you, I tell you that because that's exciting for us, but also to encourage you to pray. You know, you don't know all the kids and all the young people that responded, but you could just really pray that those young people that just heard the word this week, that you know, something would just brew and resonate in their hearts. That would be wonderful if you would do that. But it was a great week, and so we thank that team from Amber Lights who come down and performed this week. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and there's a few verses I'll draw out of this, but I as sometimes I feel works better, is I want to start at the end of the passage that I'm going to look at and just talk about the last couple of verses for a moment, and then go back and have a quick look at the context in which these verses are in. Is that all right? So you're on a journey with me this morning? You all right? Okay? So 1 Thessalonians 2:13 down to, well, just verse 13, it looks like there. And so it says here, in my, the New Living Translation, it's got the heading, and I always enjoy some of the headings it puts in there. This one, it's got above this passage, it says, "The Thessalonians receive the good news." And we sang about that this morning as we're singing. I'm just really feeling encouraged with what I had to share with you this morning. Well, you know, Tony picked some great songs, but we're singing about, you know, I believe and I receive. And I was thinking about that. I was thinking, like, the whole Christian life is not a passive life, is it? You know, we're referred to as soldiers, but we've got to get that in the right context, because soldiers can have a fairly negative connotation in some contexts. But I was just thinking, even as I'm there, I'm thinking, it says, you know, in Timothy, I think it says, endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are other places that tell us to war a good warfare, or to put on the armor in Ephesians 6. And so there's a language of warfare, isn't there, in the Christian faith. And it's not like, it's not a go out and make trouble type of warfare, but really what it is, and this is really important you get this, what it is it's, there's ground that we have, that we've been given. There's ground that we're entitled to, you know what I mean? And actually we have to sometimes take possession of that land. And so there are things that God has given to us. There's an inheritance that is ours in Christ. We were when God created man, that was his intention right from the beginning. And then what happened was, we know the enemy, he came to rob. And in John 10:10 it says he comes to kill and to steal and destroy. He's got a bit of a mission against, you know, just people experiencing all that God has for their life. Because the other part of that verse in John 10:10 says, it says, a thief comes to kill and steal and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And that's not just living and then having lots of possessions. It's talking about the richness and the depth of life that God purposed for us to live a life with value and meaning and a sense of belonging and knowing that we have a purpose to every day of our life. You know what I mean? Not in some intense way, but just in a way that we live with this sense of confidence and authority and relationship and empowerment. You know, that God is with us every day, answering the questions of our life and just guiding us and leading us. Anyone here ever have questions? And so he's just wanting to journey with us and wanting us to live that fulfilled and complete life. And so, but the enemy, he wanted to, prevent us from experiencing all that God has for us. That's what he wanted. That was what his mission was. And so, in outworking, all that God has for us, we have to take ground. We have to be soldiers in a sense. We have to take ground. You know, if I had somebody that come onto my property and they acted confidently like they had some right to be there, and if I wasn't aware of my entitlement, that I own this land and what my entitlement was on that land. Now, I don't have to go to the top drawer. I could if I wanted, but I don't have to go to the top drawer or run down to the solicitors or the bank or wherever the title deeds are. I don't know where they are at the moment. Someone's got them other than me, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, I don't have to go and find the title documents and start waving it around or whatever. I just walk out the front and I say, are you right? Like, what are you doing here? Are you okay? Because what I know is I know that this is my place and I've got certain entitlements to this. And I'm not trying to be arrogant or anything. I just understand this is my place. And if you want to come onto my place, then, you know, I'm going to defend it. You know, my family are here. This is a place where my family are. There's all the things that are symbolic of what that place is. It's not just dirt and a house. Because, I mean, what's that really worth anyway in the end? It's what it means to me. It means this is my safe haven. This is my place that I come home to. This is the place where I find solitude. This is the place where my family can come and be safe. You understand what I'm saying? And so in that context, I don't have to be waving the deeds around. I don't even have to build a 6 meter, you know, 6 meter, that's pretty high, a 6 foot barbed wire fence or anything, do I? Like, I don't have to do that. I can if I want to, and if I do, hey, that might make the job a little easier. That's fine. But I don't have to do that to know my entitlement, do I? Do you get what I'm saying? And so I know. So in a sense, what I do is I live my life and I'm taking a hold of what's mine. I'm not just being passive. But I'm taking a hold of the Word, and I'm saying, this is what God's Word says. So that's my entitlement. Do you get what I mean? And I'm not always saying those words, although I can. You know, really, when we come together and sing, in a way, that's what we're doing. We're affirming what we know to be true about who God is and who we are and what He wants to do in our life. We say that all the time. Because why? Because, you know, it's not a passive thing that we're doing. It's not a game we're playing. We're living out our life. Now, do we have to be always, you know, scared of the devil and sort of fighting the devil? We're not. We're not in fight mode all the time. But we are taking a hold of what's ours. We are getting serious about what we're doing. We are standing up and declaring what is ours. Is that right? So I just encourage you. I encourage you to, you know, even when we come together in times like we do on a Sunday morning or in our connect groups or whenever we're together in your own devotion times, you know, take it seriously and don't be passive about it. Say, Lord, what have you got to say to me today? What have you got to give me today? So just to know I'm not raving totally away from anything I plan to talk to you this morning, I wrote down here, I said, we've been really blessed with our guest speakers over November. Each one bringing their own challenge. I didn't intend to read it to you, but, you know, it's it gets me back on track a little bit. But what I was thinking about was, you know, you got Rob who brought a prophetic word. Now, again, we are listening. We're encouraged. He encouraged us. Take his word that he gives you. See if it fits your life. See if it gels. Because, you know, the Bible, the scriptures, and what God is saying to you is greater authority even than what he says to you, isn't it, as a guest? But what it might do is it might resonate something to you. It might just be that word that just really speaks in a clear way. When Rob, who doesn't know you, says something about you that God's shown him that, you know, that seems to ring true, it kind of lifts your faith a little bit. Is that right? And you think, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll listen to what else he's got to say. But, you know, some things he says might not resonate at all. Well, you don't worry about that. You just hold it there and you think, well, is it consistent with Scripture? Is it where I'm heading? Well, okay, I'll store that away and just see. Maybe it'll make real sense later on. But we don't want to be passive about it. We don't want to say, oh, it doesn't make sense. Oh, I don't like Rob, you know, whatever. You know, don't like his attitude or something. I mean, how could you not? He's such a nice fella. But you know what I'm getting at? Like, you've got to be not passive, but you've got to be active about how you put that into practice. And so you're thinking, Lord, what have you got to say to me today? Lord, what's the word for me? You know, one of the things that many people said to me is they said, well, while he was giving a word to someone else, actually that really spoke to me. Did anyone sort of experience that? That when he was given a word to, you know, maybe Aaron, and I'm sitting here I'm thinking, you know what, that really fits me. I'm going to take a hold of that too. Why should Aaron just get that, you know? I was talking to someone about Ian Miller, because you know Ian Miller who came to visit us and was the pastor at Hornsby, came to visit us a few weeks before he went to the States. And Hornsby is a very expensive place, as you know, and they were looking at a few times I went with him and to have a look at some property and just whatever, because he knows that we've been really blessed here with our properties. There's lots of great testimony in the way that God has opened doors for us with property and things like that. And so he used to say to me, I tell God, I'm not the poor cousin. What you've done for Trevor and for the church at Narendra, you know, you can do for me. Now, again, $500,000 here is about $10 million in Hornsby, isn't it? You know, so it's a whole different ball game. But he used to just deal with God that way. He'd say, God, what you've done for the guys at Narendra, what you've done for the guys down there, you know, and someone else that maybe has had a blessing in that way, he says, I know you can do it for me too. I'm not the poor cousin. Isn't it interesting? But sometimes you've got to take a hold of that, haven't you? Say, hey, that's the promise. Hey, that's the word. Hey, you know, what he said for him, I'm going to take a hold of that too. And I want to, you know, receive that as a promise for me too, because I can see that's in the scripture. Are you getting my point? Because if you're catching on and you're sort of with me, I'll probably be able to finish earlier. I'm pretty sure I'll be able to do that. If I feel like I'm getting through. If I don't feel like I'm getting through, I've just got to keep trying and trying and trying harder. So you've got to help me, haven't you? But, you know, so thinking about that, thinking about Hans. Remember Hans? It was a little while ago now, but Hans Vortman came, for those who were here, and he spoke. And he had a different way, didn't he? He'd sort of give you a word and then give you half a dozen verses of Scripture and write them down and hand them to you to look at later. Well, you know, one thing I got from that was, you know, hey, the Word of God is so relevant to our everyday life. There's bits in there that take some explaining. There's some bits in there I avoid when I'm trying to preach because I know it's going to be too hard to try and explain it in just a few minutes, or maybe I can't explain it because I don't understand it myself and I don't want to sound like I can't. So, you know, whatever. So there's lots of things there you don't understand. But one of the things I realize is there's so many bits that are so relevant to our life. And when he just give a word and then give half a dozen verses, and many of them we're familiar with, I think, wow, you know, I just want to listen to that. I want to receive that. And so, you know, I'm not being passive about that. I'm wanting to receive that too. Hey, what about, you know, Kent Hodge, when Kent came to speak? Well, Kent comes and talks about Nigeria and he tells us about the amazing work he's doing there. But what are you doing as you're listening to Kent? You're saying in your heart, Lord, what are you saying to me? You know, Lord, have I got... You know, man, I love the way that he just packed up his family, you know, his young family, and he just was obedient to the Lord, and he just headed off. Lord, do you want me to do that? Do you want me to go to Nigeria? Do you want me to, you know, now for most of us it's going to be, no, you don't need to do that. But I'm wanting to Lord, what are you saying? What can I get out of this? Oh, it's a great story about Nigeria. I know most of it because I've received his emails. You know, I've been over there to visit. Hey, there's no more I can learn. But no, what I'm saying is, Lord, what are you saying to me? What do you want to inspire me about from Kent's story? What is it that I've become a little bit, you know, I've got a bit focused on my own comfort, etc. And so what is it that you want to say to me that's relevant from Kent and from Ruth when I hear their inspiring story? When I hear their attitude towards people who sometimes are referred to as our enemies. And when I hear them speak of love and compassion and, you know, and grace towards those people, I'm thinking, Lord, if I got hard, what do I need to do? Where do I need to do some shifting? Well, where do I need to allow you, probably is the question, isn't it, to do some shifting in my heart? Do you get what I'm saying? Did I actually read this verse before? So I should read that now, shouldn't I? And then I can, because this is what it says. I did read the heading. Receive the good news. Receive and believe and, you know, be active about receiving. That's where I got onto. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't receive of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. And so there's that action of, you know, hearing the word and believing and receiving and wanting to experience. You know, there's a scripture that relates to what I'm talking about this morning. I won't look up every scripture because I don't want to take too long this morning. But there's a scripture that says, you know, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not actually talking about working out your own salvation, you know, like, oh, okay, work it all out mathematically and whatever, you know, to try and understand it. It's actually talking about working out your own salvation. So in other words, knowing what's yours and then living in it, working it out. You know what I mean? So not work it out, but work it out. Does that make sense? And so it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not talking, again, it's not talking about being scared of God or being scared of, you know, what if I don't do what I'm meant to do? That's not the way that we ever talk, and it's not the way that we know, when we know God well enough, we know that's not the way that he demands a response from us. But what he wants to do is he wants us to not be passive. I know I'm on this, but this is my theme today. He doesn't want us just to be passive, but he wants us to work it out. He wants us to take some time to say, what are you saying to me? Lord, what is this? What's the application of this to my life? Lord, how does this fit what you're doing? Lord, where are you taking me? Lord, I've got to know you enough to know that when I trust you and I trust your word, and when I know it's your word, when it really is the word of God, then I can receive it, you know, however you deliver it, I can receive it in a way that makes a difference, that actually effectively works in my life. Let me read this again. He says, we never stop thanking God. Paul to the church of Thessalonica, instructing them, encouraging them, and he says, therefore we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, not our message. And that's, you know, my second point, and I've only got two this morning, is going to be, okay then, yep, we receive the message, but there is a few provisos. You know, is it the message from God? Because, you know, we're not meant to just live gullibly accepting everything, do we? You know, we don't have to just be hungry for everything and accept everything. There is a bit of a filter that's there. I'm saying to you, probably, first of all, don't over-filter. Don't be too passive. Make sure that there's a responsiveness and a sense of aggression in your heart to go out like a good soldier and take a hold of the word and take a hold of what's yours and work it out, you know, like put some energy into working it out. Respond to him, think about him, you know, be obedient to him. Say, Lord, oh, that's going to have a cost to it, but if that's what you want, you know, like that's what I'm talking about. But then I'm saying, don't be totally gullible where you just take on everything and where you're running this way and then next moment you're running that way and next moment you're running that way. The couple of filters are that, you know, is it really God? Is it really God speaking? And then there's another filter here, you know, that they actually, before this verse, and we'll look at it in a moment, before this verse, where they've said, we thank God always that you receive the word of God, not just from men, but it is from you. You know, they've gone and they've said, this is our heart. This is the heart we've come with. This is the way that, this is the heart that we speak with. And so what he's really saying is, you know, here's the word that you've received, but I want you to know that it is the word of God. And you've got to determine that. And I want you to look at us and see the way that we've brought that word and see that we've delivered the word with the right motivation. You know, we've really sought not to just say what you want to hear, but we've really sought to say, this is what God wants you to hear. Do you get what I mean? So it's not just accepting everything and receiving everything, but it is being, you know, being receptive, being responsive, but filtering through, is this really God? Is this God saying, God, what are you saying to me? Not what is Trevor saying, not what is, you know, Rob saying, not what is Kent saying, but what are you saying to me through these guys or through these people? I've actually written down here, it's not only through the preachers that we've had, but I thought that was a good place to start. But it can be, you know, receiving the word when God speaks through a preacher, through the worship, through the communion. Not just the message, but the, you know, the coming and the breaking and the partaking of communion, through our devotional times, through our times of reflection, through godly conversations. Who loves godly conversations? You know, you're just chatting to people and suddenly out of the blue, you know, it wasn't an appointment, it wasn't an agenda, it wasn't like a, you know, an official conversation, as it were. But at the end of the conversation, you say, man, I'm really glad we had this conversation. You know, I'm really glad that we ended up chatting, you know, this way. Anybody had conversations like that? And you think, hey, that was a God thing. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad it doesn't have to always be appointments and organization and too official, don't you? I just love that when we interact, when we fellowship, when we spend time together, when we sup together, when we share a meal together, when we just take time with each other, what happens is, you know, what's in our heart flows out, and the conversation can sometimes, you know, maybe always, but sometimes go to where just God wants to say something. It's just that word in season. It's that timely word. The Bible says a timely word is like honeycomb. That's what the proverb says. A timely word, a word that's just spoken at the right time, is like honeycomb. Now, I don't know whether you love honeycomb or not, but it's meant to imply something sweet and beautiful, you know, like delicious and inviting and whatever. There's something beautiful about a word in season, isn't there? When you're just having conversation, it's like God just speaks through that other person. Or at times you listen to yourself and you think, did I say that? Man, that was good for me. You know, like, because you just know it wasn't you. Am I talking to the right people? Is that right? And you think, man, God just helped me to put that real clear in a way that I didn't think I could put it. Other times I feel like, well, man, I made that confusing, didn't I? I made a mess of that. But then later on, hey, you just got to leave it with God. And what you find out later on is it didn't make sense to you, but it might have to that other person. Other times you confuse them totally and you get the chance to make it up and sort it out maybe later or whatever. I know, it's not a perfect world. It all happens in different ways. But, you know, and then I just had down here godly conversations or the Holy Spirit speaking into our thoughts, into our dreams, as we heard a bit about last week. There's all those ways that God can speak, can't he? And we're asking ourselves through the filter of, is this God's word? Is this God speaking? What does God want to say? Or, you know, particularly as Paul was talking about, you know, when we come to you and we preach, well, then you're quite entitled to look and say, hey, the one that's preaching, you know, not are they perfect, because otherwise we're all disqualified, but what motivation are they coming with? What heart are they coming with? What is the heart in which they're speaking? And, you know, if the context seems to be motivated right and seems to be something that is good, then, you know, we open our hearts to receive, you know, what God has to say in that context. And so, this is talking about receiving and accepting. Hey, just the other day, a little illustration, but I was thinking about this and it came to mind to share with you. I had a pastor from down in Victoria, Hamilton, I think it was. Hamilton certainly was one of the churches that he relates to. He's a pastor down there with his wife. His name's Roger and his wife's Megan. Lovely couple. And I've known Megan before because I knew her family, but I got to know Roger at the last conference because he'd rung me up beforehand and said, I just feel it'd be nice to come and spend a couple of days with you and just have a bit of a chat about life and ministry. And I said, sure, you know, really love to have you come. And so here's Roger, like, he's leading a church, he's done mission work, he's, you know, planted churches, he's a guy who's got ministry, you know, and not a young fellow, you know, not an old fellow either, but a guy who's just had some experience in ministry is what I'm trying to say with that. And so he comes up and he spends a couple of days, and you know, the Tuesday night that he was here, we had a connect group. I said, would you feel free, like, you know, to join in the connect group or just relax, whatever you want to do. And so he comes in and sits in the connect group on the Tuesday night. And we're watching a bit of a video about love, pretty basic stuff, just about the importance of love and the priority of love in our life and how we love one another and how we just show love in our Christian faith and just the importance of that. And you know, here's a guy experienced in ministry and he's there and he's writing some notes down and he's just hungry, you know, like just to receive. Nothing profound. You know, could have easily said, oh no, I'm a bit tired, you know, whatever, and he would have been quite right to go. But he's hungry enough to come and to talk. He's hungry enough to sit in a meeting and just have a video about love, you know, and to receive from that. And then afterwards he says to me, oh, you know, it was just great. You know, that really spoke to me. This verse really spoke to me. That really spoke to me. Hey, the reason that I refer to Roger is because he's a guy who, I know, just fits what I'm trying to say today. He's done life. He's done ministry. He could easily stop and say, oh, look, I know a fair bit, you know. Hey, I'm just helping others. But he's hungry to learn and keep growing and know how he can do it better and know what God's got for him. And then in the context of that, it's not just about leadership and about ministry, but it's about what's the Word of God saying to me? How can I be challenged, you know, about different aspects of my life? Does that make sense? And I was just so inspired by him because that's, you know, really what I'm talking about today. And so that verse talked about thanking God that you receive the Word as it is in truth, the Word from God. But back in verse 4, we'll just read chapter 2 and verse 4, and I'll read through a little bit where what's happening is Paul's just saying, this is the heart in which we came. This is what our intention is. He's encouraging them to receive what he has to say because it's not just human words. He's not just presenting his qualifications as an educated person or as a person with, you know, something to give in the natural. But he's actually saying, this is our heart. This is how we come to you. You know and God knows. And it's the context in which he was saying, hey, will you receive from us just like you have been receiving from us? So 1 Thessalonians 2 and it's verse 4, for we speak as messengers, approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Now again, that can sound harsh, particularly the way I read it. I didn't mean to read it that way. But you know, could sort of say, oh, we just want to please God, we're not here to please people. But what they're not saying that they don't care about the people. They're saying actually we know that if we just came and we just said what you want to hear, then that wouldn't be the best thing that we can do for you. So he's not saying it in a negative way, he's saying it in a really positive way. I love you too much just to tell you what you need to hear what you want to hear. I want to tell you what you need to hear. Do you know what I'm saying? And so here he's just talking. He says, we don't just come and tell you what we think you want to hear. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our hearts. Never once did we try to win you with flattery, as you well know. And God is our witness that we were not pretending to be your friends just to get your money. As for human praise, we have never sought it from you or anyone else. Now, they're not saying they didn't appreciate encouragement. They're not saying that they were going there deliberately to be contentious or to make enemies, but they're saying, you know what, we just love you, but we didn't come motivated just to try and say what you want to hear. We didn't try to come and get favor and get something out of you. We didn't come for what's in it for us, but we came just because we know we had something to say that God wanted us to say. And no wonder he finishes that whole thing with, we're so glad that you received what we had to say as being from God. So then he says in verse 7, as apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you. You know, we could have said, well, you know, we're speaking for Christ and this is what you need to do. But he said, we didn't come with demands. But instead we were like children among you. Or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. And some of us today identify with that, don't we? What it is to just be a mother feeding and caring for our own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. Do you get what the heart in which they're coming? We're so glad you received the word from us. And this is the heart in which we came. This is the heart in which we wanted to bring the word, the good news, into your midst. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we would not be a burden to any of you as we preached God's good news to you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you as believers. And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, and we encouraged you, and we urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and his glory. Therefore, verse 13 again, We never stop thanking God that when you received His message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very Word of God, which of course it is. And this Word continues to work in you who believe. If the musos would just come, that'd be great. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. And we thank You that You speak to us in so many different ways. We thank You that You speak through people, Lord. Particularly we think of the guests that we've had in recent weeks and just how each one of them, Lord, have inspired and encouraged us in some way. Lord, may our hearts just be open to receive from You however You speak to us. May our hearts be open to receive. May they be fertile. May our heart be a fertile seedbed for the seeds of Your Word and for the watering of Your Word in our lives. Lord, when you speak into our thoughts and dreams, when in divine conversations, Lord, just even sometimes not even knowing it, Lord, we can have a conversation where it's like You speak, Lord. May we be so receptive. May we be so open. Lord, may we not be closed off to vessels that maybe we just don't assume would not be right for us, or where prejudices come in and where we're closed off to certain voices or certain influences in our life. But may we be hungry to listen. May we know that Your Word and Your way is always what's best for us. Lord, may we, even at times when it's hard, Lord, maybe what You challenge us about, what You speak to us about, Lord, maybe sometimes it has a cost. Maybe there's a sacrifice. Maybe it challenges, Lord, our own fleshly life. But Lord, may we, when we understand that it's You that's speaking, when we understand that it's Your Word that's coming to us, by whatever means, may our hearts be responsive. Lord, that we can live in the very best that You have for us. That we can take a hold of that which is ours. So that we can soldier, we can warfare, a good warfare like good soldiers. Lord, not making trouble, not going out and making conflict, but actually taking a hold of what is already ours. Lord, just standing confidently in the authority that You've given us, in the place that You've given us. Taking a hold of that which is the children's bread. Lord, Your salvation, first of all, but Lord, Your healing and Your provision. Lord, Your leading, Your wisdom, Your joy when we need it. Lord, just whatever, Father, You want to bring us into Your very best. So may we have an ear to hear. May we have a heart, Lord, that seeks after. May we not be passive in our journey. Even those of us who've been on the journey a long time. Or maybe those of us who've experienced hurts or experienced discouragement. Lord, may we rise above that. May Your Spirit just speak to us. May Your Spirit prompt us afresh to rise above, Lord, to step out, Lord, and to take a hold of Your way and Your will and Your purposes. May we let Your Spirit have His perfect way in our lives. Lord, thank You. We thank You for this season that we're in. We thank You for the season that we're coming into. And Lord, we don't want to just be passive. We don't want to miss anything. We don't want to miss out on what You've got for us. Lord, we don't want to get so intense or so academic about it that it becomes dry and empty. But Lord, we just want to be spontaneous and fresh, open, passionate. Lord, even if we make mistakes, Lord, may our heart be pure and right to just run after what You have, to be corrected when we need to be challenged when we need to be inspired when we need to be. Lord, may we be all those things. Because Lord, You've got so much for each one of us. And Lord, when each of us in this room, even just those of us in this room, if we were to have that heart, Lord, what You could do in this town, what You could do in the places where You've taken us, Lord, what You could do in our families, Lord, what You could do in our workplaces, what You could do in our neighborhoods, Lord, what You could do in our schools, Lord, would be unstoppable. Lord, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Give us a passion. Give us a passion, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.